Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know that we took up our subject of Romans chapter 6 and the issue of the law and sin and its relation to the Christian. There is an issue of freedom that comes up in Romans chapter 6, and it really is a very important message to hear in our day. I want to begin again and read to you Dorothy Sayers' quote that I read yesterday to sort of launch into our continued discussion of this. She said in the 1940s, she was a British playwright, "Official Christianity of late years has been having what is known as a bad press. We are constantly assured that the churches are empty because preachers insist too much upon doctrine. Dull dogma, as people call it. The fact is the precise opposite. It is the neglect of dogma that makes for dullness. The Christian faith is the most exciting drama that ever staggered the imagination of man, and the dogma is the drama." And she goes on to say in this book, Creed or Chaos, look, if we find this dull, that Christ would descend and who is true God and subject himself to the cross and all of this grand story of salvation, if we find that dull, then what in heaven's name is worthy to be called exciting? I raised that yesterday to highlight the fact that today we have so lost our grip in Christianity and the doctrines of the Christian faith that we have a mindless Christianity that's developed, and people don't know the basic things and the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Without these things, you have no true Christianity. You have no firm confidence. You have no assurance. You have no understanding of what the gospel is. And Paul is laboring in Romans chapter 6 to open our minds to the gospel. When the mind is open, it will lead to praise. It will lead to this life of thanksgiving and joy and doxology, which ultimately will travel from the mind to the mouth to the heart to the feet and hands. It will produce the kind of change Christianity and doing Christianity that I hear people so after today, but it doesn't get there without going through the mind. Well, Romans chapter 6 is showing us how important the mind is. Paul is preaching the doctrine of free salvation here, free grace in Christ, that in no way that if he preaches that will it produce in people careless living. That was the charge. That look, you need to be sure you pound people with the law. To say that you are not under law, Paul, but under grace is dangerous to people in their daily life. That was the argument. Now, we struggle with this in American Christianity. Much of the fear of contemporary mood we've looked at the past weeks is that we get rid of the old laws, which we don't like, and we label as legalistic, and then we hand down new laws, neo-nomianism. We give all these seven steps to this, which again is keeping people under bondage, because it says this is what you must do to bring happiness, and what we do does not bring happiness. It's what Christ does that brings happiness. And when we understand that, and when we trust in him, it launches forth this whole new life, understanding that we're already free. We don't do anything to set ourselves free. And that Christ's freedom brings that joy of a new life. So we're wrestling with this issue here in Romans chapter 6, which says, look, you got to have something to do to be accepted before God. You can't preach the doctrine of free grace like that, Paul. You can't give the impression that the law doesn't produce something in us. We're all very good, I said yesterday, at conjuring up lists of rules. But the fact is that by our list of rules, we often think This is what defines true Christianity. This is what marks us the true from the false. Now, law is a good thing when it's done out of thankfulness, but we don't earn anything before God by our law keeping. This was the very trap the Galatians fell into, and if the Galatians could fall into this so soon after they heard the gospel, how big of a problem is this in present-day Christianity? Galatians 3 said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" You see the tendency. They heard the gospel, but the gospel wasn't good enough. "We have to do something," they said. And let me say, I think this is a great problem in Christianity today, of having little joy, because many view their Christianity as defined by law, by what we do. And ironically, it's never defined by gospel. And so in our smugness, we think we've arrived. In our pride, we think our rules define us. How does Paul answer this? Look, he's already said, and will say against this thought, the law doesn't produce or lead to any righteousness before God. If you think the law defines your ability to be accepted before God, what you do, how well you do it, and then our own rules that we define, if you think that is, you're deceived. See, we always conjure up lists of rules, and we think this is what God will be accepted with. We don't horseplay. We don't drink wine. We put our kids in the right Christian school, and so on and so on and so on. And if you put yourself back under the law so as to somehow think that is the basis by which you're accepted before God, you will be condemned unequivocally. The law can only condemn. If you hold up your mode of behavior before God, you're done. You're done. In fact, Paul says you need to be delivered from the law of sin and death. That comes only in being in Christ. So do you see what Paul's still wrestling with? The charge is this: if you give no place to the law, Paul, verse 15, but go around saying grace, 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 people are going to get careless and live in sin. How does he address this? Let's look at what he says in verse 16. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Look, this thought that you're thinking about misses the whole point, says Paul. The real reason why it's impossible for the Christian to go on sinning is because the Christian is no longer a slave to sin, but to God. You don't have to beat them over the head with the law to get obedience, is what he's saying. The gospel, the freeing message of free grace, frees them so that they're no longer a slave to sin. They're not going to go on living in sin when you preach the gospel of grace, because it's a message of true freedom. And so what Paul does here is make very clear the great reality that is taught all over the Bible, taken right from Genesis, that there are two different seeds in this life, two different peoples, walking two very different paths, both with two very different destinies. Jesus made this abundantly clear in the Sermon on the Mount, that there is this very narrow path that few find, the path to life. And then there is this very broad path that leads to destruction that many walk. And he continued this grand separation in this one sermon by speaking of two different types of trees with two different types of lives living in two different types of houses. Sand and rock, all of that capstoned with this statement by our Lord: "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," said Jesus. So what's his point? There's not any middle ground. People who live in darkness are slaves to their sin. There's not a middle ground there. There's never someone who has their foot planted in the church and in the world. It's either one or the other. And Paul says, look, here's the reality. If one is living his life as a slave to sin, controlled by it, mastered by it, never turning, never repenting, the reality is they're still a slave to their sin, and that sin that is mastering them is leading them to eternal death. Now, that is all in contrast, says Paul, to a Christian who has come to Christ. He's died with Christ. He's been raised with Christ. And thus he has died to sin. That means he has become a slave to Christ. And the outward demonstration of a changed life that he shows by his life and service is ironically producing a life of righteousness in obedience and service and honoring of God's commandments. So the whole argument that if you just preach grace, it's going to produce careless living and you despise the law is thrown out. And he says, look, ironically, when you're freed by this gospel and become a slave to Christ, freed from the law, it's actually going to produce an obedient life of honoring the commands. The changed life produces that kind of obedience, not sin. A slave to Christ is unto righteousness, not lawlessness. If someone remains in their sin unrepentant and yet calls themselves a Christian, the only reality is they are a slave to their sin leading to death and not a Christian. So do you see why it's impossible, my friends, to live as a Christian continuing in a life of sin? Doesn't mean sin's not present, but to live in it unrepentant is slavery, which ultimately is slavery to the devil and death. Paul's point is that no one is truly free. You are either a slave of your sin or a slave of Christ. We'll come back to this issue of freedom tomorrow. Freedom in Christ as slave to him is the only way of true joy in this life. Do you know Christ? Have you come to him? Have you repented in belief? Then you will know the true life of freedom that only comes by faith in this great gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's my prayer today that you will know him in this kind of power.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.